Welcome to this week's podcast from Church on the Rock. We hope that it will challenge and inspire you to be a more passionate follower of Jesus. For more information about Church on the Rock, visit us at cotrcalera.com.
But I'm gonna share something with you this morning, and it's some of it has is very similar to some things that has to do with some things that I even talked about down there a little bit. And I want to kind of share some of that with you. But before I get into that, I do have a quick story I want to share with you. And by the way, I did share some of my stories with them down there. But I had to vet some of them, you know, because, like, I just don't know if blind jokes are going to go over in Mexico very well. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just like, you know, they're like, blind? Who? Nobody down there is blind. You know, they don't get it. But anyways, all right, once upon a time, there was this man who was hunting in the wood, and he found himself a long ways from civilization, and he ran into this grizzly bear. And doing the best he can to kind of move quietly through the woods so the grizzly bear couldn't hear him, he unfortunately, stepped on a twig, and it snapped really, really loudly. And as soon as he did, the bear noticed him and began to chase him, and the man ran as fast as he could, but as fast as he could run, the bear was catching up to him, and with each step, the bear kept getting closer and closer, and when the hunter realized that he wasn't going to be able to outrun the bear, he just prayed to God. He said, God, please make this bear a Christian. And the bear was running full speed, and as he realized the bear was about to get to him, the bear is running full speed. He gets right there to the man. As soon as he gets there, he drops down to his knees and he bows his head and he says, "Thank you, Lord, for this food which I am about to receive." Lord. Y'all are shaking your heads. Okay, I know what that means. All right. That's just, and of course, we got Thanksgiving. So, thank you, Lord. It's the best I got for you today. So, yeah. Yeah. So like I was saying this past week, when I was in Mexico, I was sharing a story about the Israelites and their deliverance from the hand of the Egyptians. And we're all, more than likely, if you've been in church for any period of time, you're probably familiar with this passage that we find there. And the Bible tells us this, that when, Moses had gone and he had performed all his signs and wonders, and Pharaoh finally agreed to let the Egyptians go. And when he did, he let them go. And the Bible says that God led the Israelites. He says that he didn't lead them in the way of the promise there was a shorter path to the promised land. And God didn't lead them that way because they weren't ready to face the Philistines, but that God led them by this path that led them to the Red Sea. And so what we see is that God was responsible for the Red Sea problem. Y'all are familiar with the Red Sea problem, right? So they leave Egypt, and they're traveling on this road, and they're going the direction in the way that God told them to go. And the next thing they know, they get to the Red Sea, and there's no way to cross the Red Sea. And before they know it, now their enemy is behind them. And the way that the mountain ranges work, that there was just nowhere for them to go. It's not like they're going to be able to go run to the left or to the right down the edge of the sea to get away from their enemy. They were literally stuck. They were trapped. All right. And so God here is the one that led them there. They got stuck. They got stuck between the Red Sea and their enemy. Now, imagine yourself being in this situation. Imagine yourself being them, being in this moment, in this place of being stuck between the Red Sea and your enemies behind you, and you're thinking, it is certain death. And then you get to read these words out of God's word, okay? In Philippians 4, chapter 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Or how about 1 Thessalonians 5:16? "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm trying to put myself in their position, and I'm thinking about all the emotions that are going on inside of their life, inside of their mind, and the way that they're experiencing this, and the way that they're going through this, I would imagine that trying to follow God and be obedient to these particular passages would be really hard instruction. Like, be joyful always. Like, Really? Okay. Do you not see where I'm at right now? You know, give thanks in all circumstances, right? And so, I don't know. Like, I think that that would be a really hard place. And, you know, while maybe our life isn't, you know, our situation isn't quite as dire as being stuck between, you know, the Red Sea and your enemy, there are still moments in our life where we feel like we're stuck. There's still moments in our life where the experiences that we're dealing with life just aren't very, you know, pleasurable or very awesome or great. And so we could put ourselves in that position and understand that. And I think it's really important, though, when we're looking at these two passages, that we understand, you know, something that's really important about these passages. Because in Philippians 4:6, it says, But in everything, by prayer with thanksgiving, but in everything. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, but give thanks in all situations. I think it's important to understand what it doesn't say. And it doesn't say that we're supposed to give thanks for everything, but it says that we're to give thanks in everything. And there's a big difference between the two, okay? Because we can find ourselves in some really bad places and some really bad circumstances, and the Bible doesn't tell you to give thanks for those circumstances, but it tells you to give thanks in the middle of those circumstances. Regardless of what you're going through, regardless of how difficult it is, the Bible tells us that in everything, in every circumstance, in every place, in every position, whether you're stuck between the Red Sea and your enemy, or you're just going through a difficult time in your life, in everything, you can still give thanks. Now, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, but what about Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20? Anybody else thinking that? Anybody? No? Nobody's thinking that? Okay. One person. Yeah, you don't even know what that is. All right. All right. What about Ephesians 5:20? What does it say in Ephesians 5:20? Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. Always giving thanks for all things. Well, now here's a passage in Ephesians where the Bible tells us to give thanks for all things. Not in all things, but for all things. And I know that's what you're thinking, right? But you have to understand the context in which this is being written in the book of Ephesians. You see, the book of Ephesians is a book about spiritual things and a book about spiritual gifts. It's a book about our position in Christ, our walk in the world, our stand against the enemy. So Paul was telling us to give thanks for the spiritual things God has given us or done for us. It's a different context in which Paul is writing to the church in that particular moment. And what he's writing about isn't about, you know, difficult circumstances in your life. It's talking about the spiritual things that God has done for you, whether it's, you know, seated you with Christ in the heavenly places, or whether it's given you the power to walk in a manner worthy of the calling, or whether it's given you the full armor of God so you can stand against the enemy. All of those things there we find in Ephesians, and that's exactly what it's telling us. So Paul's telling us to give thanks for spiritual things God has done for us. And the context isn't the same above. So how do we give thanks in all situations of our life? Because we are convinced that God is faithful. Okay? We can give thanks in all situations of our life because we can be convinced that God is faithful. Okay? That regardless of how stuck you feel, God is faithful, right? God is still faithful. And so, you know, one of the things that I think we have to understand about life is that life is lived forward, but only understood backwards, right? We can, we very seldom ever have a really good grip on our present day circumstances and what is to come. You know, maybe you have a word from the Lord or something that God has spoken to you, but the vast majority of the time, we don't know the things that God knows. And God knows our future. He knows our tomorrows. He knows everything that's going to come, and we don't understand that, but we can look backwards, and we can see the things that have happened in our past, and we can make sense of the things that have happened in our past, or at least to some degree, we can make sense of the things that have happened in our past. But life is lived forward, but it's only understood backwards. So, we can find ourselves in a position where we can be in a really, really bad place and not understanding what's going on. And there's going to be moments in your life where you're going to be in an unpleasant situation, and it's not going to look like God is doing anything. And that's okay, because you know we have to understand that just because we can't see God doing something doesn't mean He's not doing something. All right? And I think it's also important to understand that maybe to differentiate the difference between, like, I'm going through a difficult time because I made a really dumb decision, or I'm going through a really difficult time just because I'm dealing with some difficult circumstances. I mean, there are times in the Bible where God's people had to deal with some really bad things in their life because they made some really bad decisions. And even though God redeemed them and forgave them and moved them along and set them back on the right path, they still had to face some really difficult circumstances because of sinful decisions that they made. And sometimes we can be trapped and go through difficulty in our life, and that can be the byproduct of poor decisions that we make in our life. And then there's going to be times in our life where you can make all the right decisions in the world and you can still feel like you're stuck, and you can still feel trapped. You can still go through, you know, stuff in your life because you know, poor decisions or whatever it is, or no, not poor decisions, or just, you're just following God. You know, you may be in the middle of God's will, doing exactly what God wants you to do everywhere you go, and still find yourself in a bad spot, kind of like the Egyptians here. I mean, the Israelites here, they left the Egyptians, they're following the leadership of the Lord, God's guiding them in everything they do, and yet they find themselves in this position where they're stuck. And so, you know, certainly even when we make poor decisions, God is able to redeem those. And God is able to use some of the difficulty that we have to go through in our life to teach us things or to grow us. Even though God is not the author of the difficult things, He can use those things to teach us. But we also can be dealing with things in our life because of, you know, just, you know, living right. And it's just, you know, stuff happens. And when you think about the Israelites and their captivity, you know, they were captive for over 400 years. And they were crying out to God for deliverance. And so when they're praying to God to bring a deliverer, what does God do? The Israelites start praying to God for deliverance. And what does God do? God starts talking to Moses. So I don't know about you, but like when I talk to God about my problems, I want God to talk back to me about my problems. Okay? That's the way I think that it should work. Hey, God, I'm really going through this hard time. I need an answer. Well, here, God didn't talk to the Israelites. The Israelites talking to God about their problems, and God starts talking to somebody else. So, because God has to spend a lot of time trying to convince Moses to do the thing he was born to do. All right? But just because the Israelites didn't see that God was doing something doesn't mean he wasn't doing anything. And just because the Israelites didn't hear God talking back to them about their problems didn't mean that God wasn't working on their problems. And it's the same way in our life as well. So you can go through some difficulty in your life and not know what to do. You can be going through some hard times and not feel like you have an answer from God, or that God's given you a word or saying anything to you at all. You could feel like that the heavens are shut up and that God has somehow disappeared and abandoned you. But just because that's what it seems like doesn't mean that that's what's going on. And so that's what we see in this particular passage. And then finally God shows up and he does something and they get delivered. And the next thing they know that they're stuck all over again, now just in a different place, going through a different trial, a different problem. And here they are stuck between the Red Sea and their enemy. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 21, it tells us that, you know, God told Moses to do this, and it says that Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. All right. I want you to listen very carefully. And the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land. When I used to teach Bible, middle school Bible at Kingwood, we used to watch a TV series called The Bible. And, because it was fairly accurate, and it just was something that the kids, you know, enjoyed. But, you know, anytime you've seen a movie, whether it's, you know, Moses' Ten Commandments or, not Moses's, but the, you remember the Ten Commandments movie that came out, you know, 30 years ago or something like that, yeah. Or the Bible's version of it, whatever. But anytime this happens, you know, Moses, the depiction is that always that Moses steps out and he takes his staff and he raises over, and like 10 seconds, God parts the waters. And then they all like gather their stuff up and cross over on dry land. But if you read this passage, the passage actually tells us that Moses stretched out his hands and that there was a strong east wind that began to blow. And guess how long that wind had to blow? All night. All night. So it wasn't an instantaneous miracle. And here we are. Now look, again, life is lived forward but only understood backwards. So these Israelites in this moment are living their life forward. We can read the whole story. We know the end of the story. But if you put yourself in that position, a strong east wind is not an indication that God's going to part the seas. I mean, like, had God ever done that before? You know? Like, where they had, like, testimony that this is, oh, east wind from, you know, Moses raised. No, I don't know. Like, for me, wind would just have been another aggravation. Okay? I mean, you know, we go, you know, my wife and I, we take Skylar out to play softball, and we go to some tournaments, and it never fails us. There are two or three tournaments we go to. You're out in these ballparks, and the wind will be blowing. People put up these little canopy tents, and you know, somebody inevitably never, like, you know, stakes their tent down. In the middle of a game, you got a canopy tent blowing across the field, you know. And you ever tried to, like, camp in, like, super windy environments? It's just, like, super annoying. It's like, I like to fish. Y'all know this, okay? And I hate, but you can't fish when it's really windy. It's just, you know. And so here are the Israelites. They're stuck between the Red Sea and their enemy. Now the wind's blowing. And they're having to sleep in the middle of hurricane-force winds. Okay, they're trying to, all night long, who knows, blowing their tents around, causing all kinds of ruckus and problems. To me, it probably was only just more aggravation. They didn't know that God was using the wind to part the sea. I mean, maybe, I guess at some point, somebody saw some evidence somewhere, like, hey, like half the sea's blown back, you know. But it's, you know, I don't know that there was really any great evidence that God was doing anything, but it was... This wasn't this immediate miracle, but it was an incremental miracle. It took the whole night to part the waters. But the first thing that happened was that there was a strong east wind that came. There's no way that they could have known that that wind was going to accomplish what it was going to accomplish. So here they are in this moment. They need God to work on their behalf. All of this stuff's happening, and there's no way to know that God is moving when God is moving. And so the correlation, though, for us, okay, is that just because you don't know that God is moving doesn't mean God is not moving. Just because you don't see the signs yourself that God is doing something doesn't mean that God is not doing something. You just have to trust him. And the way that we trust him is that we can, one of the ways that we trust him is by being thankful in every circumstances, because even when we can't see God doing, we can still trust that he's doing something. Rob, you can go ahead and come. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I tell you this, and there's a lot of you in here that know my story, and I'm not going to get into all of it, but when we planted this church back in 2009, things just didn't go the way that we thought that they were going to go. It just didn't happen the way that we wanted them to happen. First 5 years or so, we grew very, very small. About 2015, we lost about a third of our church. We lost about 40% of our budget in the church for various reasons. It wasn't anything that happened. It just happened. 2016 was a very, very hard year for me. 2016 and 17, I just, for the, you know, just as a quick thing, I just I wanted to quit because I didn't see God doing anything. And I felt like I had come from a place, my pastor down in Florida told me that he was going to give us the church in his will, that we were going to be in his will so that we would take over the church if anything ever happened to him. And then I moved up here and I'm, you know, throwing newspapers in the middle of the night for the Birmingham News for the first year. You know, coaching PE at Christian schools, teaching Bible, just doing whatever. Dozens upon dozens upon dozens of nights where I just cried to God, like cried, not just be like, God, where are you? Like cried, like sobbing, crying, like, God, where are you? What is going on in my life? What are we doing here? And I just didn't know. Like I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know how I could. All I knew was that I felt like I was convinced that God led me where I was. Okay. And so in a way, God led me to a place where I got stuck. And I got stuck for a long time. And I didn't know what to do other than just continue to be obedient and trust God and just be faithful in whatever it is that God told me to do. And that's what I did. And I kept pushing through and just trusting God. I remember, and I know I've shared this story before, but some of you, it'll be new. But I remember in 2018, we were thinking that we might be able to get some money from the bank to build a building. But they told me I needed $50,000. And I'm just telling you right now, $50,000, you might as well have told me I needed $1 million because there was 40 people in the church. You know, we're just struggling. You know, we just couldn't. I didn't know where any of this had come from. And I remember I was in Haiti and I was preaching at a pastor's conference in Haiti. And the last night I was there, I was talking to God because I wasn't having to preach, so I could just spend time, you know, talking to God about me. And here I was again. I was talking to God about my problems. And for a long time, I never felt like God, you know, so I'm like, God, I need 50 grand, please. Please, I'm just begging you. And God said, ultimately what God said is, I want you to give this missionary $5,000 before you leave. And look, I think I may have had 8 in the bank account or something. You know, I mean, it was not a whole lot, you know. And I remember thinking like, well, there's another 5 I got to raise, you know, which was a lot to me. And I talked to Crystal. Crystal was like, what do you want me to tell you? You know, do what God tells you to do. I don't know. So I did. And for me, that was like the moment where Moses stretched out his hand. That was an act of obedience in a moment where God told me to do something. And I didn't really understand it. Didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. And the next thing I know, the wind starts blowing. We came back. We started raising money. By the end of the year, I had somebody come up to me and tell me, like, hey, whatever you don't raise, we're going to give you the rest. Within one year's time, God had brought in over $100,000 to the church above and beyond our tithes and offerings. And every step of the way with this building project that we started talking, every step of the way when we needed more, when we needed something, I mean, every step, God would, it was incredible. We get to a place where like, man, I don't know, we're going to need more than what we thought we were going to need. Because that's the way building projects go, right? And then the next thing you know, God would provide. And every step of the way, it was like the strong east wind began to blow and began to part the waters for us and began to change the course and the direction of our life. And it changed the direction of our church here. And now, you know, we're 2 years into being in this building that we're being in. God is blessing us. Pastor Rob's come full time. We've got incredible staff members here at the church. We're talking about starting to run 2 services, trying to figure out ways that maybe we can bust out this wall and make this building bigger. We need to buy land on either side of us or something like that. Because We want to take advantage of the momentum that God has for us and the purpose that God has for us here at Church on a Rock. And I only share that story again is to say this, is that like there was a long period of my life where I just didn't see God moving. I just didn't see God working. But while God was working on my solution, he was also working on me, right? Faith brings about answers, but enduring faith builds character, and it makes us good stewards. When we have to endure in faith, and we've got to stay the course and trust God, even when we don't see him moving, and even when we don't see him working on our behalf, it builds character inside of us. And character helps us become great stewards of the blessing. All right? So my children are professionals at spending my money. They are. Because they didn't work for it. Right? So they're not great stewards of my money because they didn't have to work for it. But then when they started making their own money, they start caring a little bit more about their money, and they become better stewards, because when you endure through work and you have to put in the time and the labor, it starts meaning more to you. And it's the same way sometimes in us. Is like when we want God to move on our behalf and do something for us, we have to understand that God's timing is not our timing. His ways is not our ways. But God is always on time. And he's always perfect in all of his ways. And everything that he does, so what that means for us is this, is that regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in our life, we can trust him. We can trust him because he's faithful. And because we can trust him, and because he's faithful, we can be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. So even when I don't see the answer to my prayer, I can thank God for the answer, because I know that God is working on the answer. He may be working on me. He may be working behind the scenes. While I'm talking to him about my problems, he may be talking to somebody else about the solution. It may not be telling me a word, but I can trust that God is faithful, and that he's not going to leave me nor forsake me, that he's a father to the fatherless, that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that he will always watch over me and care for me, that if he watches and clothes the lilies of the valley, then how much more will he not clothe me? If he sees every sparrow that falls from the ground and feeds them every day, how much more will he not take care of you? That we can trust him in every circumstances, because we can trust him, and because he's trustworthy, we can give thanks in all circumstances of our life. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we can make our request known to God. And we can be thankful. We can be thankful, not because everything in our life is so good, but because God is good and because we trust him. Come on, you stand to your feet this morning. You know, the Apostle Paul, who wrote these passages here in Philippians and in 1 Thessalonians, you know, he's the one that, if you think about his life, you know, there was a period of his life where he was a prisoner in a boat. And being a prisoner in a boat is not a great place to be when you think about his day and time. He was a prisoner in a boat. Then a great storm came and it lasted for days. Everybody was afraid they were going to die. And then in an effort to try to save everybody, the boat capsizes and they all become shipwrecked onto this island. And so here he is. He's right where God wants him to be, basically. I mean, he's a prisoner. He's now shipwrecked. He's on an island. He's got nothing. And on this island with a bunch of other people. And then he finds himself sitting around a fire with some of the foreigners. And he reaches in to grab some wood. And a snake bites him on the arm. And everybody around was like, oh, this dude's dead. He's dead. Because they knew what kind of snake it was. They knew that this snake just kills. And in the middle of all of that, guess what Paul didn't Paul did not agree that all of these things were from God, or that he was supposed to give thanks for these circumstances. You know, it's Aristotle is the one that taught this philosophy that everything happens for a reason. And it gives us this idea that, like, everything, you should just accept everything in your life because everything in your life happens for a reason. And it's, you know, look, sometimes things happen in your life that they're attacks from the enemy and you should not accept them. Paul was bitten on the arm by a snake and he should not have accepted that moment in his life, and he didn't. God healed him, and then it became a great testimony to the people there of the power and the goodness of God. But it does, you can't miss the point that Paul was in a really, really bad place, but God was still faithful and brought him exactly where he was supposed to be to accomplish the purposes of his life, even in the midst of great difficulty. And Paul, going through all of that, is the one that wrote these passages. Be joyful always. Joy is a choice. The choice. Joy is something that happens inside of you because of the Holy Spirit working in you, and it's not the direct result of your circumstances. Be joyful always. In other words, that's a command. Do it. Be joyful always. Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on, this is a life thing. It's not just a Thanksgiving week thing, even though it goes with our theme. It's a life thing for us that we live this way. Come on, we're going to worship the Lord here this morning as we close out the service. If I have some people that want to come down the front.